We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Philip has just lost the respect of the Youth League football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
You guys, a resounding win, 45-20, you take down Central Michigan. We talked a little bit about the way that you guys played against Toledo the week before that. That was a closer game, but you played three quarters of very similar football to what you did this past weekend as well. Talk to me about the way that your team has responded. And we've seen what Northern Illinois can do. They're a very good football team, even though they still don't have a win yet this season, much better than their record would indicate. But you come off that game where you had a dogfight with an NIU team, and you're thinking, all right, you've got your probably three hardest games in front of you. This is where everything's on the line. How has your team responded in your eyes to not just play winning football, but arguably seven of the best quarters of football they've played this season?
Yeah, you know, the guys have done a good job of really just, you know, refocusing after the previous game has been over and just trying to focus on the process, you know, getting the next, you know, first it starts with cleaning up our mistakes from the game before. Then you focus on recovery. You know, they have the day off today, so they're really focused on recovery and whatever they can do treatment-wise to help get themselves as healthy as possible for Saturday. That involves in the training room. That involves getting in the pool. That involves, you know, film study on their own. We can't be with them today because it's the, you know, CARA, you know, rules as far as their day off. But there's lots of guys that are just obviously obsessed with the film study part of it. They got five games now in Western Michigan to be able to study. Even though every team is different, you still are able to look back at last year's game and go, okay, we played against this guy. We played against that guy. You know, I remember preparing for these things about this guy and whatever it may be. So, you know, the guys have just done a good job of really focusing on the things we control, which is the process leading up to the game. And still, we're not a finished product. We got to keep getting better. And that's the part that I appreciate of guys recognizing that. In Toledo, we got a great win at Toledo. We were in the locker room, though, and you could just sense the daggone it. We played 54 minutes of pretty good football here. Yeah. And, you know, we can't let that happen. And we were on a mission to get that corrected and fixed. And we got back to the practice field and, you know, we went to Mount Pleasant. We were hungry. It was an eerie feeling. There was zero fans.
It was wild.
It was very eerie, you know. And so we knew we had to just bring our own energy, our own juice. And guys were awesome with that. And, you know, on the sideline, it was as good as it's ever been as far as guys picking each other up. And really just, hey, man, next play, next play, next play. Let's keep going.
You guys really left no doubt, too. You came out first four drives of the game, two for you, two for them. Field goal, touchdown, punt, punt. That's about the best thing you could draw up, and then you ran from there. Happy with the way that you guys kind of came out and set that early tone?
Well, still feel like we left some plays on the field. You
Fair.
Know, we still, you know, we want to score a touchdown the first drive of the game there.
Fair.
I feel like we had some opportunities there. And so, you know, we got to just continue to sharpen our skills and continue to improve on the things that we can improve on. And so that's the mindset, though, of the team. And we knew at halftime, hey, man, you could hear the guys that we're not done yet. We're not done yet. The job is not done yet. That's been big with us after we watched the Kobe Bryant, you know, interview in the finals. We watched
that. Tell me, what did you guys watch?
Well, we you know, obviously Kyle Hoogeveen, our video director, does a phenomenal job of putting together an inspirational video the morning before, you know, our last team meeting that we have. We have an inspirational video, and, you know, I obviously my kind of last remarks or, you know, last words to the team before we get on the bus and head to the stadium, but he puts together a highlight video, and I don't see it. He doesn't tell me. He does such a good job. I trust him, you know, and so, you know, it's short and sweet. It's 2.5 minutes, a lot of clips from the previous game, but he puts in some motivational material too, and it was Kobe Bryant in the finals. I don't remember what year it was, but they asked him, they were up 2-0 in the finals, and they were asking him if he was happy. He said, about what? He said, we're 2-0. The job is not done yet. You know, what's there to be happy about? And so, you know, that really resonated with our team, with our players. And so, you know, you that's kind of taken off, and, you know, the job is not done yet. We got goals. We're on a mission here, and, you know, we got to play our best football if we want to have an opportunity this weekend.
Tell me about, you know, the job is not done yet, but the Saturday job is done, and you guys finished strong, which was not the case against Central Michigan last year. And that was the thing we kept saying on the broadcast Saturday, was like, listen, up big here, but up big last year and Central came back. So be on your P's and Q's. You've got to finish strong here. And you guys carried that out to a T. You got very emotional post game thinking about it and talking about it. Why does that strike such a chord with you to see the team rally the way that it has?
Probably because of my love for these guys, you know, this group of 22 players, these 22 seniors and the guys that are upperclassmen, to think about some of the tough days that we've been through together and to see them continue to just keep working hard, continue to be positive, continue to believe that we're going to make the gains and the strides that we need to make to be a very competitive program. And ultimately, one day, we're going to put ourselves in a position where we're at right now. And so that is, you know, that's the part for me that's, you know, it's emotional. And you know how I am. I'm an emotional guy. I don't mean, you know, but it just is what it is. I remember my dad, you know, that he was an emotional guy because he was so proud. And so when you see him, you know, hard work pay off, and you try to preach that. And, you know, there was probably some opportunities and some days when some guys had some, you know, thoughts creeping into their head, do I want to stick it out or whatever it may be? And they did. And that's what makes me, you know, the most proud. And you know, I'm you know, those guys deserve the credit. The players deserve the credit because they stuck together. They just bought into hard work. There's no shortcuts to success. We knew it would be tough, but we just continued to make gains. And so, you know, when we were in that position Saturday, you just, you know, nothing needed to be said. We knew that we didn't deliver when we needed to in close games a year ago, and we were in a game similar to that, just like you mentioned, and we needed to continue to play one play at a time through the remainder of the game until the time ran out of the clock.
That's the voice of Ball State head football coach Mike New here Monday night with the red and white from McAllister's Deli here on McGalliard. Reminder that students get 10% off and a free cookie at McAllister's Deli when they show their student ID. So the victory over Central Michigan, which we'll break down a little bit in more detail, but I want to give the overarching picture first, sets up what is an enormous game against the Western Michigan Broncos noon on Saturday at Schumann Stadium. As far as fans are concerned, game is not open to the general public unless you can get on somebody's pass list. However, the social sellout concept has returned to Schumann Stadium, so you can go online, ballstatesports.com/social sellout, and find ways that you can be there without being there. So check that out, ballstatesports.com/social sellout. It does involve some fan cutouts as well, which has been very popular in empty stadiums in all sports, in all leagues across the country this fall. The dynamic of this game Saturday, how do you, like, you've gotten to this point, so these guys have handled a lot, but how do you make this a big deal without making it too big a deal?
Well, everybody knows what's at stake. Both teams are fighting for the exact same thing. Both teams are 4-1, really just focusing on the process. I know that's probably boring, a boring answer.
But sometimes it's right.
The game plan. We're right. Focusing on what we normally do on a Monday, which is, you know, obviously heavy game plan day because the players are not in the building. So we just got to focus on the process. There's an opportunity that lies ahead on Saturday, but there's a lot of work to be done between now and Saturday to get ourselves prepared for that, you know, and a lot goes into it from a preparation standpoint, game plan, players, making sure they do a great job of, you know, getting in the training room for those that need extra treatment. We still continue to lift. We still continue to break down our opponent. So, you know, there's a lot that goes on between now and then, and you truly just break it down. Any championship team I've been a part of during that week or being part of the Super Bowl, you know, down in New Orleans, you just focus on the process. There's lots of noise. There's lots of talk. There's lots of people that you're close to that want to talk about things past Saturday, but you really just got to focus on, you know, day in, day out, the things that we can control to help, you know, prepare ourselves to go out and play well Saturday.
You know, it's almost the best scenario for you in terms of situations because they're not going to be on campus. They're not going to be in class. You know, everybody's gone home. All classes are virtual. You're not walking around campus. You're not seeing your friends. So there's nobody to tell you how great and exciting this is, except for your own inner circle of football players and me.
which is great to some, you know, even though that's the case and the students are gone home, still guys have to do a great job as far as, you know, going home when you're not at the facility, when you're not practicing, you got to go home. We still get tested 4 days a week. I've been proud of, you know, what our guys have done up to this point, but certainly we can't let our guard down. You and I both saw it last weekend. It's crazy. You know, Buffalo was on, you know, I communicate with Lance quite a bit, and they were on two and a half hours into their bus trip, and the game got canceled. So we're not promised anything, and so we got to make sure that we're doing our part here to make sure we have the best opportunity to go accomplish our mission.
Well, and I just mean it from a mental standpoint, too.
Oh, yeah.
Like, there's nobody to talk to you about how great you are or how big a game this is. If you don't want to hear about it, you're not going to hear about it because you're just around your teammates.
Yeah, and that part is good. that part is good because you want to focus on, you know, obviously making sure that, you know, trying to avoid any distractions that might exist and really try to focus on, you know, the day-to-day process that it takes to get yourself ready to go for Saturday.
Right, that is the voice of head coach Mike New. The Cardinals take down Central Michigan this past Saturday. 45-20 was the final score. Best all-around game the Cardinals have played, most complete game they have played this season. We'll break down all of it when we come back. This is Monday Night with the Red and White, live from McAllister's Deli on McGalliard. Again, a reminder, students of Ball State, 10% off and a free cookie when you show your student ID at McAllister's of Muncie. This is Monday Night with the Red and White from Learfield, IMG College. Ball State taking down Central Michigan on Saturday. 45-20 was the final score. Western Michigan is next up on the docket. It'll be the Cardinals and Broncos from Schumann Stadium at noon, on Saturday, and then a 7 o'clock tip-off for basketball inside Worthen Arena as well. So a jam-packed day with Illinois State coming to town. Basketball also in action tomorrow night. Cardinals open MAC play. They'll be at Northern Illinois, 8 o'clock Eastern. Our pregame coverage starts at 7:40 Eastern. It's the Cardinals and NIU. Head coach Mike New, though, continues to join us now. We'll talk some football. AJ Uzodinma will be along in just a little bit to talk some of the defensive performances of the Cardinals. Let's talk offensive, though, first, coach. You and I have spoken many times about Jalen McGoy. He is very good. He is very talented. He is on a receiving core that is of very good, talented receivers, though, and sometimes it's hard to find your spots. Why did he find his spots on Saturday, and what led to the breakout performance of 3 catches, 2 touchdowns, and 100 yards on the dot?
Well, first of all, he deserves the credit for just really working hard and continuing to trust the process. Obviously, he's worked really hard in practice when his reps have presented themselves. He's worked really hard trying to learn the offense. He spent a lot of time with Coach Bailey just making sure that he's ready. And obviously he knows that he's playing behind a guy similar position as Yo Hines. Well, Yo Hines was cramping a little bit on Saturday. You know, he was, you know, which we played a lot of plays on Saturday, but he was cramping some. And so, and Coach Bailey was trying to obviously rotate guys more receiver to keep guys fresh and knowing, you know, obviously that would be better for us, especially second half. So Jalen got some opportunities and obviously, you know, put them in a position. They were playing some one-on-one on the outside, and we both know, because we've both seen him in person, how big he is and how fast he is. And you know, when that first opportunity presented itself, well, the first one, the first catch, it was kind of an extended play. Drew did a great job of escaping the pocket. He ran a slant route on that particular play, but then he did a good job in the scramble drill, just trying to relate to Drew. You know, Drew was working that way, so he turned and he started working with him, and obviously Drew did a great job of finding him, and that was a big play to get it started. You could see the excitement in his eyes.
And he made a great move, too.
Great move. And then he had the opportunity, the one-on-one. It was just a go ball. We max protected it, and he won. He's fast. He's big. He got by the guy. He won on the release, and then he stacked him and made a great catch. Drew made a great throw, but he made a great catch. And then, you know, the second one there, Drew did a phenomenal job of changing the signal at the line of scrimmage based on the coverage that we got. And then the corner squatted to take Justin on the out route, and Jalen ran right by him up the boundary. Drew recognized, did a great job of seeing the coverage, ripped it down the sideline to Jalen, and Jalen did a great job of tracking it, finishing the deal. And so when you can, that's a pretty good stat line when you see he had 3 for 102 touchdowns. And so I know that's done a lot for his confidence. You know, it was so cool to see such, you know, he's emotional and so excited. And you know, on the sideline there, it was great to see his teammates just go over and tell him how proud they were for just, you know, working so hard. And so hopefully that's, you know, one of those we can build on there. And you know, we got to keep getting him on the field.
What does that do for you as a receiving core? Because obviously you've got your top three guys that are all 20 reception guys, which is nuts in a 5-game season that you've played. Now you've got another guy to work into that mix. Obviously you're throwing the ball a lot, but how does that change rotations and snaps and how you get guys in or who you're looking to and just what you set up offensively?
Well, I think that's really important because I think what we do offensively and trying to spread the ball around, there's not just one go-to guy. You have to defend the whole field. You have to defend all the receivers. You have to defend the tight ends. Cody Rudy got in the action. Dylan Cook got in the action. The running backs get in the action. So you got to defend the whole field. And when you can do that, and obviously it's helpful too because all the players are excited knowing on any given play the ball could be coming their way. So imagine what that does in practice, how hard guys work in practice knowing right. That, man, I got a chance here. There's not just one go-to guy. I know there's sometimes one guy has the hot hand or maybe at the end of that game he had more. But it's a huge boost because we already feel like we got a lot of weapons, and to add another one, and we feel like we got more. And we've got other guys, too, that are just waiting in the wings and working really hard for when their opportunity presents itself. So we just got to continue to keep developing guys. And you know, Coach Bailey's done a good job with that group, and we just got to continue to keep working.
Head Coach Mike Noone joining us here. We're breaking down the Central Michigan win on Saturday. You mentioned the name Dylan Cook. Talked a lot in the preseason about what he can bring to the pass game. Here's a guy that was a tight end, became an offensive lineman, is back at tight end, has maybe the longest arms, biggest hands on the team. So I know Pat Doherty, his position coach, was really high on how he factored into the mix. Never had a ball thrown his way, though. And then the last couple of games, I believe, you might know this more than me, I don't think he had a target the first 4 games of the year. And now the last 2 games he's had, I think, 3 or 4 balls thrown his way, including a touchdown last week, and probably should have had a touchdown the week before that. Describe how and why his emergence has happened in the offense over the last couple of weeks.
Well, you know, first of all, credit to him for being unselfish. You know, we asked him to make the transition to tackle, you know, at one point in time because we felt like that was going to be best for him and from a depth standpoint on our team. And then obviously once we had some injuries at tight end, and so we were already discussing playing him basically as an extra, you know, offensive lineman on the field and utilize him in an extra offensive lineman package. And it's like, well, you know, he's one of those guys that had to work really, really hard to continue to maintain his weight. Yeah. And he did it. He did it without question, unselfishly, and committed himself to whatever he needed to do to get enough calories. But we talked to him about that. Coach Doherty, you know, had talked to him and brought up the idea. And so Dylan fully embraced it. And you know, obviously, you know, as you can imagine, the first 2 or 3 weeks, you're getting your feet wet again, playing a new position. And really, it's his first significant playing time. You know, he had been behind Danny Penner, really taking some reps in practice at right tackle and a little bit at left tackle. So he waited. He just continued to work hard. And then, you know, when we had some injuries at tight end, and then the suggestion was brought up by Pat, Coach Doherty, and Dylan really embraced it and worked hard, and he's really kind of getting his feet underneath him now, and you can see his confidence. And it's a good thing he has long arms, and it's a good thing he's got big hands, because he needed them on that touchdown catch to extend and catch a ball away from his body. Drew did a great job of throwing him away from the defender, and, you know, that was awesome to see that happen for him.
Head coach Mike New continues to break down Ball State's victory over Central Michigan with us Monday night with the red and white from McAllister's Deli, every Monday night here at McGalliard from 5 to 6 p.m. Talk about the defense here in just a second. One more question on the offense, though, and that's Caleb Huntley. You've been now without him for the last 2 weeks. Have not missed a beat. Ty Evans has been awesome. Will Jones was injured 2 weeks ago. He's back. He was great. Scored a touchdown this past Saturday. First off, what's the potential outlook for a guy like Caleb on Saturday? And outside of that, man, Ty Evans is he's a beast.
He's a big guy, too.
He's learned some lessons about how to run hard from Caleb Huntley.
No question. Yeah, in regards to Caleb, certainly, you know, we're holding out hope that, you know, he has a great week here. He's, you know, he's been involved in practice to some degree, walkthroughs, a little bit of the teamwork. So he's been involved, and certainly we waited all the way up until, you know, pregame warm-up this past week to see how he was feeling in pregame. Could he go? Could he not go? And, again, we'll use the same approach. You know, we'll see. Nobody wants to be out there any worse than Caleb does. And yeah. You know, I know, you know, he's frustrated and wants to be out there. It's just kind of been a nagging injury that he's had. But as you mentioned, you know, credit Ty Evans, credit Will Jones, credit Donnie Marcus, credit Cody Rudy. You know, those guys have been way more involved. And, again, just like, you know, Jalen McGoy, they've worked really, really hard to make sure they're ready when their opportunity presents itself. And so you tip your hat to Ty, his first game out, 100 yards rushing against Toledo. And, you know, meanwhile, 2 years ago when we were at Toledo, his first carry that he had, you know, so
we talked about that.
He was very well aware
of that.
Oh, yeah. And so that had to be on your mind. And so for him to go perform the way he did was awesome for him to erase that. And then Will, you know, Will's tough as they come. And, you know, he's a little banged up, but it was good to see him back in there. And he's a competitive dude. And, you know, we'll do whatever we have to do. And, you know, hopefully we can get Caleb back. But if not, those guys will certainly be ready.
Defensively, you gave up 20 points. In any level of college football, you'll take that to the bank, especially in the Mid-American Conference, where I feel like people are averaging 70 this year. Why was it the best all-around defensive performance you guys have had this season?
You just talk about guys responding and being on a mission and wanting to play complete team defense. And so the performance that we put on the field on Saturday and the number of things that Coach Stockton and the defensive staff had to prepare for, because you're prepared for Wildcat, for Khalil Pimpleton to be in the backfield, for the running back. They've had several different guys show up at Wildcat throughout the first four games leading into our game. And yeah. So there was a lot to prepare for. Had a new quarterback, you know, that was taking the field, playing the most significant snaps. So it was a long week of preparation to make sure we're ready for several different things that could happen. And so you just talk about that, you know, we had the one long run there on third down and long by the quarterback there, the 82-yarder. But you take that away and you talk about dominating championship caliber defense and getting after the quarterback when we needed to get after the quarterback, ended up with four sacks, 11 yeah. tackles for loss, two interceptions. I mean, that's awesome. Like
where's the pressure? Why have you guys gotten more pressure the last 2 weeks? That's double figures tackle for loss the last 2 weeks, eight sacks in the last two games. Where? Why?
And again, you talk about personnel, and Coach Stockton's doing a tremendous job of putting those guys in a position to be successful and do what they do best. You look at Anthony Ekpe, you look at Christian Albright, you know, Bryce, blitzing Bryce, bringing A.J. off the edge, and A.J.'s got to be leading the conference in sacks for a corner, and just putting guys in a position to be successful and put them in a position to go execute what they're good at. And so and he committed to that way back, you know, in the offseason. We knew that we had to generate pressure. We got to get pressure on the quarterback. And you bring in a guy like Anthony Ekpe, a grad transfer from Rice. You bring in Chris Ajiman. Those guys have been very unbelievable additions to this defense. And, you know, you can see the confidence level just growing weekly, week in, week out. And when you have some, you know, experience on that side of the ball, when you talk about Bryce and Jay Thomas and Brandon Martin and Christian Albright and Antonio Phillips and golly, you look across the board and AJ and Brett Anderson's really playing good football. And so, you know, there's a lot of guys that have played a lot of football over there that are hungry and they know how important it is to play, you know, great defense week in, week out. It's tougher and tougher, as we, you and I both know, man. It's just tough. You see the points that are scored in college football and the NFL. I mean, defense is really, it's such a challenge. And to see what Coach Stockton has done and the defensive staff has been really impressive, proud of them. But the job's not done. And another great challenge this week, because you're talking about a very explosive team offensively in Western. And I know Coach Stockton will have our guys ready to go.
It's like you get to the point where you're winning games 55-52, and it's like, wow, that's a great defensive performance. You held them under 70. Right. Like, that's where we're at. I mean, the team that leads the MAC right now in scoring is scoring 50 points a game, which is obscene. Let's talk about Western Michigan, who comes up next for you guys. Then we'll take a timeout. AJ Uzodinma will join us on the other side of that. The Broncos come in. They are not undefeated. They were the only undefeated team in the Mid-American Conference. They took an L against Eastern Michigan on Saturday, in which they allowed a third and 59 conversion. I don't know if you saw that.
Well, we looked for that, though. I'm not sure that's 100% accurate.
Was that a glitch?
Yeah, I think so, because you don't find one. You know, when you look at the film breakdown and you look at the third down, you know, Eastern did not convert a third and 59 as far as the film breakdown goes. So whatever that was.
That's upsetting.
Because we were looking for that same thing. Like, what happened on that? Did he break 19 tackles? What happened on that respective
what
play?
What play do you draw up for that?
Exactly.
That's unfortunate. But that aside, Western's still a very good football team. Their quarterback leads the nation in quarterback rating. Why is Caleb Ellaby a problem?
Got great weapons. You look at Eskridge, you look at, you know, Sky Moore, you look at the young man Hull. I mean, he's got some great weapons around him, and Coach Lester's done a great job of, you know, distributing the ball around and making you defend the whole field, things that we talk about, you know, here too. And so they got speed. You know, they got the most speed, you know, at the wideout position that we will have faced so far this year. And so you know, they got some playmakers and a lot of big plays, a lot of explosive plays. So, again, we got to do a great job of making sure we make them earn it and keep it in front of us and get after the quarterback. Got to make him uncomfortable, and it starts with that. And you know, I know it's another great challenge, but I'm very confident, and I know our guys will be up for that challenge.
Western is one of 23 teams with an 80-yard pass play. They lead the country in 70-yard pass plays. In five games, they have seven passes over 50 yards. You mentioned they're the fastest receiving core you've seen. Is it simple as they've just run past people, or where can you get into trouble with big plays against this
team?
Well,
Eskridge has caught a couple of hitches or 9-yard routes, and he's turned and he's used his speed to take it the distance. Okay. You know, that you talk about the you know, he had three catches in the center, or four catches in the center.
For 230 yards.
Yeah, and one of them was an 80-yarder that was a 5-yard route, and he turned and took it to the house. The other one was another one that was a 5-yarder, and he turned and took it to the house.
So he's got to tackle people.
Exactly. And obviously getting hats to the ball, getting 11 hats to the ball, and certainly making him earn it. So he's got, you know, obviously he got invited to the Senior Bowl. So good player, talented player. You know, he was hurt some a year ago. He got hurt in the Syracuse game a year ago.
Yep.
You know, obviously they got some weapons, but, you know, we feel pretty strongly about the weapons that we have too. You know, Coach Stockton will have a great game plan together.
That's the voice of head coach Mike New, Western Michigan, noon on Saturday, coming your way. Our radio coverage on WLBC starts at 11 o'clock with the Northwest Bank countdown to kickoff. Again, kickoff is at noon. Doubleheader day on Saturday. It's football at noon and then men's basketball inside Worthen Arena at 7 o'clock. Mike, we will let you go back to, I'm sure, a full night of preparation. We'll talk to AJ coming up here in just a little bit.
All right, thank you.
That's head coach Mike New joining us. It's Monday night with the Red and Whites, presented by Learfield IMG College.